February 28, 2019, public hearing for Town of Moreau Draft Comprehensive Plan, 6:30 p.m.
Okay, we're going to get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to a public hearing on the Town of Moreau Draft Comprehensive Plan. Joining me up here, we have Deputy Clerk Tammy Daly, Councilmember Hogan, Councilmember Van Tassel, Councilmember LeClaire, Councilmember Noonan, and Councilmember Bittner. And I'm Todd Kuznier, the Town Supervisor. So we have a quorum present. At this time, ask the clerk if the public hearing has been properly noticed.
Yes, it has.
And if you would read the notice into the record.
Sure. Public hearing notice on comprehensive plan. Notice is hereby given that the Town Board of the Town of Moreau will hold a public hearing at the Municipal Center located at 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, 12828, on February 28, 2019, at 6:30 p.m. At such time, all interested persons are invited to participate. Copies of the comprehensive plan will be available for public review at the office of the Town Clerk and at the Crandall Library, Public Library, 251 Glen Street, Glens Falls, New York, 12801. An electronic copy of the comprehensive plan can be viewed at the town's website, townofmoreau.org. And this was published in the Post-Star on February 17, 2019.
Thank you, Tammy. Just a few ground rules before we get started. As adopted by resolution at an organizational meeting, all members of the public will have an opportunity to speak for 5 minutes. Initially, prior to speaking, please state your name and address for the record. After everyone who is interested in speaking has an opportunity to speak, we will come back around and offer additional 5 minute intervals until everyone has had an opportunity to complete their remarks on the record. So with that, just would like to give a brief overview of how we got to where we are this evening. The previous comprehensive land use plan was adopted by the Town of Moreau back in 2008. The LA group was involved in helping the town put that together. The plan we have before us this evening was compiled with the assistance of the LA group again. We retained their services back in 2015 to update the plan that we had. 2008 plan was 38 pages. The one that we're taking comment on this evening is 134. So that kind of tells you the level of detail that has been put into this and the issues and concerns that we hope to have addressed. In 2015, the town organized and conducted a focus group where meetings were held with members of the community and various members of the town board to gain input on land use issues that are currently facing our community. The town also utilized the assistance of the Planning Board and the Zoning Board of Appeals to oversee development of the plan that's before us this evening. The final draft was finished in 2018 and essentially consists of guidance for 10 topics ranging from community and economic development to housing to agricultural resources. The document also presents a plan, initiatives by geographic area, by presenting initiatives for 9 plan areas across the Town of Moreau. With that, we have Jim Martin with the LA Group with us this evening. I'd like to ask that he provide a brief update. He's the town zoning administrator. He was involved in putting the draft comprehensive plan together. And after his brief review of what has transpired, we'll open up the public hearing to public comment. Jim, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Todd. First of all, I want to start off by saying thanks and gratitude to the Planning Board and Zoning Board members who worked on this plan. They were, apprised of each chapter essentially was written. It was provided to them. They provided comments back. And that's the way the plan was essentially built. And I think it was a a rather novel approach, but yet a highly effective one as well. Because as you know, our planning board members and zoning board members are obviously residents of the community, but they're also the residents of the community who work most with our land use regulatory program. So they're well versed in the zoning code and in the various land uses in the town, and so they were natural to help out with this. So I applaud their efforts, and they were really very helpful and very attentive all the way through the development process. As Todd alluded to, it was started in 2015, but in fairness, there was a transition in the administration at that time, and it took a while for the new administration at that in 2016 to get its feet under itself, so to speak, on updating the comp plan. But a couple meetings were held in the focus groups that were referenced to, and I think those were very helpful. There were a lot of good meeting notes out of what folks wanted to see who attended those meetings, and then obviously the input from the planning board and zoning board throughout. So with that said, when I write these things, what I've come to find over the years is that sometimes plans get too aggressive and they try and do too much. I think this plan is focused in terms of the initiatives that are proposed. It is trying to do a set of initiatives that is well-scaled and achievable, and yet will result in positive improvements to the community, and most importantly, improvements that are in keeping with what the residents want to see. So with that said, you're going to see initiatives in here on economic development relating to the idea of creating a task force and working with the county agencies that already exist, the Prosperity Partnership and SEDC. On the housing side, there is an acknowledgement of the amount of diverse housing that has grown in the community over the years, and I think there is some preference in the community now to see maybe some slowing on the multifamily side, some containment of that, but yet reinforcement of preserving the single-family neighborhoods and the integrity of our single-family neighborhoods. And then in all areas in terms of commercial, industrial, residential, it's suggesting a growth pattern. Certainly growth is important, but to do so in a quote-unquote smart manner, meaning that we're seeking infill development, reuse of underutilized parcels and buildings as a first measure, and then where we do have to grow out into the vacant property, be very diligent in doing so. With that said, another cornerstone of this document is preservation of the agricultural land use in the community. Just prior to this effort, and really I think was one of the springboards that led to this effort, was the adoption of the 2014 Farmland Protection Plan. And there's a lot of good information in there about plan initiatives, and also very specific to updating the zoning code in preservation and methods that can help preserve agricultural land uses. So agriculture is very much understood in this document. It's very important to the community, and there's a lot of initiative in here to protect that, but not just protect it, but actually enhance it and grow it through the pursuit of agritourism and then those types of innovative approaches to agriculture that will make it that much more useful going into the 21st century. So that's a cornerstone of this. And then on the recreation side, there's acknowledgement of the vast recreation resources that exist in the community, both at a municipal level, with our parks at the municipal level, as well as the presence of the Monroe State Park. And we're looking at ways of connecting those with pedestrian pathways and trails, things of that nature, and reinforcing the recreation experience for the residents and also making the town maybe even potentially a destination for that. So that's just a thumbnail sketch. I'm sure you all had a chance to review it. I look forward to hearing further public comment. In terms of procedurally, we have resolutions from the zoning board and planning board endorsing the document that have passed it on
to the town board for your consideration. I think it's been a very pragmatic review process, if you will. Everybody's had a chance to thoroughly review the document and take their time with it. I've gotten comments from Gina about some things directly that will make changes. But in terms of where we're at as a procedure now, we're at this is a required public hearing. That fulfills that step. You're required to have one public hearing. Next procedural step, after we get the hearing closed and any comments or result in changes, we'll go through the seeker, the environmental assessment. It is a type 1 action by definition. You're charged with taking up that assessment form. And then once that's done, you'll be in a position to actually make a decision on adoption. And then what happens most importantly and is the forefront of this whole effort is updating the zoning chapters of the town code. That's what everybody's anxious to get started on. I say everybody in terms of the zoning board and planning board, they're all chomping at the bit waiting to get, you know, a new code in place that will better equip them to undertake the reviews they have to do. It's been long sought after, and I think we will definitely get there. I can assure you of that. It will take some time. It is a cornerstone of one of the things that any municipal government does, so we're going to be very careful and diligent in our assembly of the new code, and there's certainly going to be a lot of public or opportunity for the public to comment on that. Just basically speaking, in summary, I don't see where there's going to be wholesale changes needed in the zoning code in terms of the districting and the basic land uses in the community. The pattern is set. I think it serves the community well, and that's the feedback I see every day in the zoning administration. However, the mechanics of the ordinance are in many ways outdated, and the definitions, the specific uses that are listed in the use schedules, all that stuff has got to be rethought and looked at, and make it a better code to meet the needs of a really growing community and a very diverse community in terms of its land use. So that's where we're going next, and we'll certainly keep the board apprised at every step. Anytime you want an update on it, I'll be happy to do so, but we'll certainly keep you apprised of our progress. But I anticipate it is going to take some time, a few months at least to get through that, over a year. So I look forward to getting started on that, but this is a springboard in that regard. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you to the LA group for working with us to get us to this point in time. I think the whole board can agree that, we're on a precipice of very exciting times here in the town of Monroe. This is very timely as far as where we are with this document. A lot of things will be happening in the near future, and this is going to provide the blueprint for how we move forward. So thank you for that. So at this time, I'd like to formally open the public hearing. Remind everyone this is an official proceeding which allows the public the right to be heard. And in doing so, town board members may ask questions on those providing testimony. It doesn't mean that it will be a back and forth question answer type scenario. But starting off, please state your name and address for the record. You'll have 5 minutes to begin. And with that, who would like to comment? Mr. Spohr.
Yes, Vince Spohr, 163 Port Everett Road. There's a lot of information in here, and so I'll just kind of walk through some of this. So one of the discussions that we got into was the subject matter of infill. And in my mind, it has to do with density, increasing density. And if you go down to Port Everett Road and Bluebird Road, there is no question in my mind that it's an increase in density of the specific acres that exists there. Personally, myself, I live on the Port Everett Road. I think it's absolutely outrageous. How we got to that point, I do not know. But it has definitely changed the character of this community. my mind, we attended a meeting, when was that, a month ago? The planning board meeting. Mr. Schimmerhorn wants to put another development on Sisson Road. There was, were you there at the meeting? Well, there was some people there at the meeting were outraged about it. And I can very well understand because they live right next door to where all this is occurring. And, you know, as a citizen who is, and a resident who's paid their taxes, it appears to them that the board and the supervisor at those times when that area was designated as whatever it was, R1 or...
UR5.
UR5.
It's our highest density zoning.
Right. It's absolutely outrageous. You have that much population in one little area. This town does not need that. It does change the character of the town. The people that were there were pretty much upset over it. I'm surprised you're not here. Was this posted in the paper? I assume it had. I don't remember seeing it.
They did a feature article.
Yeah, they did an article on the town board.
That's probably why I didn't read it. Okay, I'll do the five quickly. Okay, so anyhow, when we talk about infill, one of my concerns is that when you talk infill, I was given a definition by Mr. Honor, and it was in your minutes of the meeting, about the closeness to the town, or it means having it closer to town. I look at it as increased density. And I feel it just takes out of the character of the town. Along with that, you know, that the developments that are already on the books, you have the one at the Solberg Farm, which is just started. You have one near the Harrison Avenue, had no activity. There's one on the Bluebird and Gansworth Road, the Jacoby Field. There's no activity there other than growing corn. And then they have a new one on the Sessor Road. When you do these things, it appears what Skipperhorn is doing is he's going in, he's on a contract to buy the land. It looks like he goes through some initial planning, and once he gets approval, then he buys the land. In the meantime, you never see the results of these studies. 3 or 4 years ago, you approved a project at the corner of the Solberg Farm. I think it was 4 years ago, if not longer. So you do a traffic study, you do a sewer study, and all this. How do you know these studies are correct until after they're completed? Yet we continue to go along. Now, maybe it's my lack of understanding what you look at when you look at traffic. All I can tell you from driving, I know when I go on 197 in the morning to Route 9, it's crowded. And in the summer, it's even worse. And it's an issue, and especially as you start to develop Route 9. So I see that, and I'm saying this guy, as far as I'm concerned, he's just buying up property, and he's getting it established, and he'll build it when he wants to, and or he'll sell it, like in the case with the Skimmerhorn or the Solberg property. So anyhow, that's the one area that I've discussed. The other thing that I'm not in favor of is, especially in that Bluebird or Solberg property, is putting groundwater into the system through we supply water, and you have no septic other than the traditional land or individual home septic systems. I see no reason why that system wasn't tied into the original one. And I'm not so sure if you shouldn't be looking at making that mandatory for new developments that are in this range of near the village. I mean, you know, there's no reason why the contractor can't be part of that pay. So that's just a couple items. There's a good job and a lot of information here, but there's still a lot.
More, if you do have additional
comments that the board is in agreement because we have very few people, it looks like, that want to speak.
Well, that's what I was surprised at.
Would you like to
there was so quite a bit of interest. I don't know what happened.
So how about 5 minutes, and then we'll let somebody...
Well, I think...
It might take more than that, right?
I don't know.
And then we'll come back around.
As you go through, like I said, you did a good job of putting it together, and I know your objective is to set up a plan. I just think that, I like walking trails. I didn't like the... I forgot what group did the one along the Hudson.
The one we were trying to think of?
Yeah, the walking trail. It was like, it was in three phases. You had the grant back here running around.
Right.
And I'm saying it's not worth $800,000 to put walking trails.
I don't see that we would have ever spent that. I think that was the build-up.
It started out, the first phase was 300, and then it was on and on it went. I guess my point is, when you start doing walk trails, why don't you just do nature trails and don't get into all this, picnic tables and gazebos and on and on and on. I mean, I walk every day. I go over all life, and there's plenty of area to walk, and I don't bump into many people.
I
can understand the development. I think we're getting more property now, which Finch and Pine was. Isn't that part of the state park now?
It was purchased by OSI, Open Space Institute. Right. It will ultimately become part of the park.
Yeah. So, and what's that, another 1,000 acres?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at just that whole section, it goes all the way into Mount McGregor, all the way over, right? So, that's a lot of land and a lot of place to... it's a good plan. It's put together. I have issues with how we develop. It just seems. I always look at this as more of an ag. It's ag and a village. It's a town. It's not. If I wanted high density, I'd move into the village. I don't particularly care. I like to have room around me. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people that live in this area, around that section, are starting to feel the same way. Now that you see it. So, that's all I have.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak?
I can respond to...
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe I'll to re-answer this level character. It's to respond to Mr. Spohr's concern on the urban residential district. Been on the planning board for about 6 years now, and I've watched the growth, and I've been part of it, and have been monitoring it. The traffic study, which we were very concerned, and we pushed for it from the planning board perspective.
Mr. Antis, please keep it germane.
I will. I am. The urban renewal district basically was designed for density, and Mr. Sherborne used it to his... I'll explain the rest of the story. I'll tell you all the background of where he is on that. The sewer district that's coming down Route 9... I know we're going to be changing the zoning, and I brought this up before at the town board meeting, but I'm going to bring it up again. I want to try to beat this drum. The area where we're putting sewer on Route 9, even though it's commercial one, I think we should be more forward-thinking and create that into a planned unit development district, which gives the town board better control of that district here, what you want growth, gives you a better height of buildings, density, than just the basic zoning. I think this strip of land, or the stretch of land, needs a different type of zoning, a different kind of direction than other C1 in the town. The only thing that I thought was, and I didn't really beat the drum while the zoning, while we were working on We didn't do much on historical, not that we have a lot of historical sites. We have a few. We have some important ones. And the one that we do, that we should do a better care of, is the Rogers Cemetery down on the river. The state owns the land. The state would like to give it to the town of Rowe, because it's along the river. So hopefully the town will eventually pick that up. But I'm looking forward for the zoning to start. It's needed. We worked very hard on the planning board to follow it. And as Jim and I have seen, the world has changed, and we need to catch up and make things better. And lastly, I think we've missed a boat on 197. It is a major feeder road going through to Fort Edward, Washington County. I know we have it as residential. I know we have some farms down toward the river. But maybe between here and Route 32 might be something that we might want to do, especially near the beginning of the road, maybe the first mile or two, or at least first, have that more better zone for commercial. People are going, and nothing that you folks don't already know, the traffic that's going through on 197 is tremendous. And there's growth for commercial growth, which is again help us as a assessed value and sales tax revenue. So that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to be heard?
I just wanted to respond, and I appreciate Vince's comments. I have to give him credit. He was there for the public hearings that were held by the planning board as well and the zoning board when they had their hearings. And he said essentially the same thing, and I tried to address that a little better in the document. And just to clarify what's meant by infill. Infill is, and I want to get this on the record in the hearing, infill is not necessarily meant in this context to provide higher density. That's not what we're looking for in the call for infill. What we're looking to do with infill is avoid the so-called sprawl of development going out into the undeveloped areas of the town, the periphery of the town, where it's harder to service and it causes more traffic problems. The infill is meant to, in this context, like I said, take advantage of those instances where there are vacant lots in the development pattern and or underutilized buildings. Not necessarily more density. And I'm hearing that loud and clear. And I think we can address his concerns specifically. And I think he's right. I don't think it's just held by him by virtue of what we saw at the, it wasn't even a public hearing yet on the application that was referenced. So, there's a lot of sentiment out there, I think, concern about multifamily housing, and we can most effectively deal with that in the zoning code and how we calibrate, you know, that density. We've got to look at that very carefully in terms of the infrastructure that's in these areas to accommodate that in terms of the traffic and the sewer, the stormwater, the water utilization, and all that. So there's more to come on that. I hear that comment loud and clear. We're going to take a real scrutinizing look at how much density is permitted even in our UR5 district now. So I don't want him to think that's falling on deaf ears or what was said in other public hearings.
Well, just for the record, I'm sure anything that was said in the record this evening will be certainly evaluated by town board members before, you know, we get to the final stage in the document. Does anyone else have any oral testimony they'd like to provide? Does anyone have any written testimony they would like to provide? Does any board member have any comments that they would like to add?
I do. When I read this first, I heard Reed say something about the historical information. And when I read this at first, one of the things I talked to Jim about was I said, what is that there? Why is there so much of it? And he said, we're growing. We have a lot of new families, people that didn't grow up here. I didn't grow up here. I've lived here 40 years. And he said, that's important that people know who we are, where we've come from. When businesses are looking at our community, it lets them know about this is Moreau. I like that when he said that. I never thought of that. And I really did like that part that it was there. At first I thought, what is all of this material that we really need is in there, but it made perfect sense to let it was there. And Vince, I think you speak for many, many people. Thank you. Even if you don't know all of them, you speak.
And another board member wants to comment?
No.
If not, hearing no other individual would like to present testimony without objection, I would like to close the public hearing.
So
we don't need a motion now. If everybody's okay, let's close. Thank you, everybody.